Brachas Bava Basu begins with the word in the big box, HaShutfim. So I'd like to speak a little bit about two different types of Shutfims. When you have Shutfim who decide on their own, each one decides on his own to become Shutf with the other one, so they're considered two independent Bailim. And the Gemara tells us, let's say two people decide to become Shutfim in a Korban Oila. I could have paid all the money on my own. Even I don't have so much money. I could have borrowed some money from someone else. The other one could have decided to bring Korban Oila on his own. Each one decided to join with the other one. So each one is an independent Bailim. And the Gemara says if they'll both do snicha on the head of the animal together at the same time, so your hands will be a chatzitza between my hands and the head of the animal. Or my hands will be a chatzitza between your hands and the head of the animal. So the Gemara says each one has to do smicha separately. B'zach hazeh. A korban ha-shutfim, that's a mishnah. That's a mishnah, I wrote it down. And merach is daf tzad gimel amin beis. And the same is regarding tenufa. When you bring, let's say, a korban shlamim, so you have to do tenufa on the chaz of a sheik. So you can't have a chatzitza. So if I'm holding the chaz of a sheik in my hand, the chalofim of the chaz of a sheik, and you're going to put your hands on the bottom of my hands, so my hands will be a chatzitza between your hands and the chaz of a sheik. Or if the other way, you'll be holding it and I'll put my hands on the bottom. So the other one, each one is an independent bailim, and the other one's hands would constitute a chatzitza. So what do you do, lemaisa? So they can't do the tenufa and the smicha b'masachas. So the Mishnah says, echad meinefai dei kol b'nei achabura. Let's say 10 people chipped in to buy one korban oila. So one of them does tenufa because Gemara learns that from a pasuk, you can't have more than one tenufa. So one of the shutfin does tenufa and the others can't do. Regarding smicha, there is no such gzeiras hakasuv that only one, that you can only have one smicha. Let's say you had 10 shutfim and a korban oila, so each one of the 10 shutfim has to do smicha separately. But then there's another type of a shutfis where we became shutfim bal karchenu. Let's say the father had been mafrish a korban, and he dies, and he has two sons, and the both sons yarshu the korban. So when they bring the korban, the Gemara says that if I wasn't mafrish the korban, I got a birusha from my father. So I'm not fully 100% the bal hakorban. The bal hakorban is the one on whose behalf the korban is offered. On who's going to get the kapar, who's going to get the kiyama mitzvah. So the Gemara has an expression that the yarshim get a kapar mikufya superficially velo mikiva. They don't have an in-depth kapara. They're not full bailim on the korban. They have a partial kapara. They're considered incomplete bailim on the korban. So that's why the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, is based on psukim. The din is when someone brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, most korbanos are supposed to do smicha on it. But only the Baal HaKorban could do smicha. Let's say someone emails money or he wires money to the Beis HaMikdash and they're going to bring a korban on his behalf. He lives in America. He can't afford to go to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe someone else should do smicha on his behalf. So the Mishnah says, no, Shliach can't do this smicha. No one else can do smicha. Either the Baalim does smicha, you don't have smicha at all. There are two or three exceptions to the rule. That's by Korban Tzibur. Usually you don't have any smicha on a Korban Tzibur. And the Mishnah has two or three exceptions. The end of Menachos, when you have smicha on a Korban Tzibur. That's Gzeres HaKas. Normally, what do you mean? The whole of Klal Yisrael. The Tzibur means all of Klal Yisrael from the days of Avraham Avinu till Eliyahu HaNavi, till Bias HaMashiach. How can you have all of Klal Yisrael do smicha? It's impossible. So the Gemara says that's why a korban tzibur, normally you don't have any smicha at all. So if if the yorshim are not complete, and the same thing is regarding tamura, there's a lav in the chumash lech lifenu v'loyam arosi, you're not allowed to make tamura. So if you have a korban and I walk over to your korban and I say harezu tachazu, I want to replace your korban with a nicer korban, I want to make a hider mitzvah. So the Gemara says you can't make tamura on someone else's korban unless he gives you permission. But if he doesn't give you permission, if you're not the bailim, it's impossible for you to make tamura. Not only do you have to be the bailim on the animal that you want to replace it with, you have to be the bailim on the animal of the korban as well. Otherwise, not a balabas in the first place to make tamura. Tmura is an Aveira, but the only one who can possibly make Tmura, then is if you did violate the Aveira, Vahayuhus Marosa Yakurish, they both, the old carbon remains a carbon, and the new one is Nitfaz Bagdusha's Tmura and Yamakar, that also on the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah has the klal that to be able to fulfill a mitzvah smicha and to be able to violate the Aveira of Tmura, it's only if you're the Bala carbon. So there's a machlekes hatanaim based on psukim, but what are the psukim teaching us? There's a machlekes hatanaim whether yorish meimer or yorish soimech or not, because the yorish doesn't have full kapara. That's what the Gemara says. The yorish only has a superficial kapara mikufyo. Superficially, he doesn't have a kapara mikibya. Doesn't have an in-depth kapara. He's not the full bala korban. So that's a machlekes hatanaim based on the psukim whether the yorish soimech or the yorish meimer. Let's say the father was mafresh a korban and he died. And let's say, I think we passed Yorish ain't a samech, Yorish ain't a meimer. But let's say you'll follow that opinion that the Yorish does do smicha. So what about over here? Will the both brothers do the smicha b'zeach hazeh? By tenufa, you say echad meinav ayidei kulam. Only one does tenufa, because you can't have twice tenufa. If you have a korban hashutvim, so the din is that all of the shutfim, they had 10 shutfim. The Mishnah says each one of the 10 shutfim has to do smicha b'zach hazeh. They can't do b'vasach. They can't do the smicha b'vasach because the other one's hands will be a chatzitza between mine hands and the korban. So what about over here? The father died and he leaves two sons, and the two sons are yorshim on the korban, the shutfim on the korban. They didn't become shutfim out of their own free will. A Yerusha is Bal Korcha Shaladim. If a man dies and he leaves a Pchor and a Pashut, so the Gemara in Perek Yesh Neichlin learns that from Sukkim, that the Pchor can refuse to take the Pishnaim. It says, Losses Lo Pishnaim, it's a Pchor Ben Asnua Yakir, Losses Lo Pishnaim, Matone Kai Rachmone, that it's considered a Matone in this sense, that if the Pchor doesn't want to get the Pishnaim, he doesn't get it. He says, I don't want it, so he could be mevater. But if a Yorish says, I don't want the Yerusha, there is no such thing. Yerusha, you get Bal Korcha. If you don't want it, you get it, and then you could be a mafker. You have a brevet to be mafker the Yerusha if you really don't want all that money. But you can't say, I don't want it, then it won't prevent you from getting Yerusha. Yerusha is Chal Bal Korcha. Only the Pishnaim is not Chal Bal Korcha. So here, the two Yorishim become the Shutfim and the Korban Bal Korcham. They didn't, it wasn't out of their own free will. That they were nishtatav. The Torah declares that it goes birusha whether they like it or not, and both of them are the shutvim. So Rav Avvel Soloveitchik has an interesting comment that Tosefta in Menachos points out that even though the Mishnah says echad meinav ayidei kulam, when you have a korban hashutvim, one of them does, let's say there are 10 shutvim, so you don't require of all 10 to do tenufa, you can only have one tenufa, so one of them does the tenufa and the others are yotze. But it says that in Parshas Tetzaveh, it says after they completed the building the whole Mishkan, so they had to have Chanukas Aron Avonos. It says they had to bring special karbonos for Chanukas Aron Avonos to make them into Kohanim. So they brought special karbonos, and Aaron and his four sons, those of Yisrael, another idea, the four sons, all five of them were shutvim on the korban. And it says b'feirush in the Chumash that they all did tenufa. So the Tosefta points out that that was an exception to the rule. Usually the rule is echemenef, if you have a korban hashutvim, only one does tenufa. Here the halacha says b'furish in the psukim that they all do tenufa. What happened to the klal that you can only have one tenufa? So Adavel Soloveitchik is quoted in the Shurim on I think the beginning of Erchin. He explains they didn't become shutvim out of their own free will, that you can say, I could have brought all the karbonos on my own. Let's say Aaron and Bonav decide, instead of saving money, each one is going to bring the whole set of karbonos. They won't be yotze. The halacha requires they have to be shutvim whether they like it or not. It's not that they're trying to save money and five people are being yotze with the same karbon. The halacha required dafka, they have to bring it b'shutvim. So he says, since it's a shutvim bal korcham, they didn't choose it out of their own free will. So it's not that each one of them is an independent bialim. They're one big bialim on the korban. So he thought that therefore there's going to be one, you can only have one tenufa on any given korban. All Aaron and Bonav did the tenufa b'vasachas. Your hands are not a chatzitza between mine hands and the korban, because all of the five of the Aaron and his four sons are all one big Bailim Alpidin. If each one joined the Shutfis Midaito, there used to be a big store, E.J. Corvettes. E.J. Corvettes went out of business already, no? He used to be the Rosh Tevis, 11 Jewish Korean veterans. 11 young men were in the Korean War. And then they became friendly in the war. And then after the war was over, they decided to go into Shutfis and they made millions of dollars. They had a big store, like Macy's, like Gimel's, it was a big store. So they, each one joined the Shutfis, had his own free will. The 11 people joined the Shutfis. So each one is an independent by them. So therefore, your hands are a chatzitza between my hands and the korban. But here, they didn't join out of their own free will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all five have to bring the korban b'shutfis. So it's considered as if they're one by them. So that's what Avdalvala says. That's why they probably only had one tenufa and all of them together, and it wasn't a problem of a chatzitza. And the same, Rav Avila thinks the same as Alpi Pashtus, the Pasuk says that they all did smicha. Aaron Abonav, all the four sons, they all did smicha on the korban. So the Ravid has a pirush on the Torah's Kohanim. That's really by the real Ravid. The pirush on the pirush that's miyuchas, that the Ravid Maseches Tamid is supposed to be really a mistaken identity. It's by somebody else. That doesn't seem at all that it's written by the Ravid. They have a lot of rise to that, but the Ravid on Torah's Kohanim is really the Ravid. So the Ravid writes, he thinks that when Aaron and Bonav did the smicha, they probably did it the way it says in the Gemara. Each one did smicha, b'zach hazeh hazeh. Now Belvila suggests, he doesn't quote the Ravid, but he suggests maybe he can say not like the Ravid. He thought that when they did the tenufa, the halacha usually says he can't do more than one tenufa. So how come the carbon Aaron and Bonav, each one of the five of them did tenufa? So he says, no, they did one big tenufa tenekeder, and there wasn't an issue of chatzitza because it was one baila malpi din. So he thought, not like the Ravid. He thought that probably when they all did this smicha, they did this smicha together. They didn't do each one of them smicha b'zach hazeh, like a normal korban hashutfim. They did one day smicha together, and the other hands of the other four people didn't constitute a chatzitza because alpi din had a din as if it's one baila. There is such a distinction between shutfim who became shutfim out of their own free will and shutfim who became shutfim bal korchim. Let's say Yorshim. Here we're talking about Aaron Avonov. But Yorshim also, the father dies and the Yorshim Yorshim the korban. So there is a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam and a Mishnah in the end of Bechoris. The last parak of Bechoris is all about Maisa Behema. So on Daft Nun Vav on the base, there's a Mishnah where there's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam had a rimshat in the Mishnah. So there's a fundamental machlokes whether shutfim, let's say two people decided to go into shutfis to raise cattle, and one of them put in $20,000, the other one put $20,000, and then they went and they bought with the money, they bought behemoths, and they're raising all the behemoths and giving birth to vlodis and so on. So we have sometimes there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you can only fulfill if you're the sole bailim. And sometimes you can fulfill a mitzvah ha'idei shutfis. Take for example, the father died and the father bought an esrig for sukkahs. Then the father died and he has 10 sons. So all the 10 sons are shutfim in the esrig. So the din is that you cannot be yotzi. You have to have shalachem. The whole esrig has to belong to me. If it's b'shutfis, it's no good. Unless all the other 9 shutfim are makneh to me. So whoever picks up the esrig, he tells all the others, have a mind to be makneh the esrig to me, so I'll be the sole bail. So the Gemara says in Chulin, regarding other, the Gemara doesn't talk about the Lulav and Esrog. The Gemara says regarding other mitzvahs, how do you know whether the mitzvah only applies if you're the sole owner or if it's done now the shutfis? So the Gemara says the rule is it depends how it appears in the Chumash. Is it written Meloshin Yochid or is it written Meloshin Rabbim? So it's written Meloshin Rabbim, so it applies even if you have shutfis. So it's written Meloshin Yochid. So you can only be yotze if you're the sole bailim. So the Gemara applies that to certain mitzvahs. It's a question, does it apply to all the mitzvahs? In Europe, there was a famous issue. The last of the Taryag mitzvahs that appears in the Chumash, at the very end of Chumash Dvarim, is the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua Nun that they should recite Shiras Hazinu. Kisva Lechemes HaShira Hazos. They should first write down, Kol HaTorah Kula was first the Moshe Omer B'Kosev, first Moshe Rabbeinu, delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down. After he delivered the Nevuah, and it was Chal Hashem Nevuah, So then he was told to write it down and to make it into a Sefer Torah. And Shiras Hazina was the exception to the rule. Kis v'lechem es ha-shiras v'lamdas b'nei son. That's what the Netziv points out in his commentary. Achumish, and they say b'shem Rav Chaim. Then he interprets the Gemara like that, based on Rav Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So a lot of things he said he got from the Netziv. So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is, Kis v'lechem es ha-shiras v'lamdas b'nei son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Moshe and Yoshua. They should first write down Shiras Hazina, unlike Kol HaTorah Kula, and then only after writing it down, then they should deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there could be more than one level of interpretation in any given Pasuk. Pasuk Nemark in Sanhedrin quotes the Pasuk, Achaz Dibur Lekim Shtayim Zu Shamayinu. You have one text of the Pasuk, but it has more than one level of interpretation. You have Goyish books, where the author had more than one Kavanah. In writing the book, he had the Lefi Pshuta, one Kavanah, and then he had two hidden Kavanahs. And the Torah can also have like that, more than one Kavanah. There's a Pshuta Shal Mikra, what's the Pshuta the Kavanah? And then the Torah Shal Baal Peh has additional levels of interpretation. Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that people often misunderstand the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara never said, Ein by Mikra El Pshuta. The Gemara says, Ein HaMikra Yotze Midei Pshuta. Pshuta Shal Mikra is also true, but it doesn't mean that it's only Pshuta Shal Mikra. If you have an additional level of interpretation, it doesn't mean that you throw out the Pshuta Shal Mikra. The Gemara said there's only one pasuk where the Pshuta Shal Mikra is not binding. The one pasuk is by Chalitz, V'ayap Chavashatel, Yachal Moshimach HaVameh. So the Gemara says in Kol HaTorah Kula, Pshuta Shal Mikra is also halacha. Except for that pasuk, there's no Pshuta Shal Mikra. It's only the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. But the Gemara never said that's what the Ramban points out. The Gemara never said ain't by mikra elam pshuta. The Gemara said ain't a mikra yetsin and pshuta. Pshuta is also binding. You always have to know what is pshuta or mikra, and the additional levels of interpretation are also binding. So that pasuk kis v'lachem as hashira hazaz pshuta shal mikra is it's speaking to Moshe and Yehoshua. They should write shiras hazina and then they should deliver the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael after they write it. But the additional level of interpretation, the Gemara says in the second Perek in Sanhedrin, is that each and every individual Jewish man is obligated to write his own Sefer Torah. Kis v'lechem es ha-shir hazaz, to kol echad v'yechad. Every Jewish person should write his Sefer Torah. So in Europe, it's an expensive proposition to write a Sefer Torah. The Jews were not so wealthy. So every 40, 50 years, every community would make a collection, and they would commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, and everyone would give a dollar or whatever. So if you have a few thousand people and everybody chips in a dollar, so you pay the sefer, and he wrote the sefer Torah for everybody. So that was a big machlokes in the poskim, the Pesukei Teshuva, Yerideya, and the third chelik Yerideya, but the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah. Pesukei Teshuva quotes the machlokes, can you fulfill this mitzvah b'shutvus? So based on the klal and the Gemara Chulin has the klal, that whenever the pasuk is written in the singular, it can only be fulfilled if it belongs to you alone. Whenever the pasuk is written in the plural, then it can fulfill the mitzvah b'shutvus. Here it says kis v'lachem. So based on the Gemara's klal, you should be able to be yotze b'shutvus. So the Sri Yesh has a tshuva where he talks about this issue also. He quotes the poskim before his time, and he says the other poskim say not only do we not know how to darshan psukim, we don't even know how to apply the Gemara's klal. The Gemara gave a klal over here. Whenever the pasuk is written b'loshen rabbim, then the mitzvah can be fulfilled b'shutvus. Said we don't even know how to apply the Gemara's klal. Maybe for some reason or another, it doesn't apply in this pasuk. Kis v'lachem. Maybe you're not yotze the mitzvah k'siva sefer Torah if you write b'shutvus. Maybe it has to belong to you. The Rashi on this Mishnah that we mentioned in Pcheres and Daf Nun Vav on the base, there's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam how to read the Mishnah. So Rashi interprets the Mishnah that the mitzvah of Maisa Behema can only be fulfilled if it's owned by one person. If it's owned by Shutvis, he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Maisa Behema. So if you have two Shutvim, who for years they're going to be Shutvim, so Rashi learns Pshat in the Mishnah, calls man that they're Shutvim, they could be Shutvim for 50 years together, they won't be Chayv and Maisa Behema. Why? Because the Pasuk is written in singular. That's how Rashi says, based on that Gemara Chulin. Whenever the mitzvah is written in the singular, it can only be fulfilled if you're the sole baal. That's how Rashi learns. So the Rambam argues completely. The Rambam says there is no such din. If let's say, I had cattle from before, and I had 10 behemoths were born to my sheep, and you had 10 animals were born to yours, And then when Nishtatfu, so then I'm makne all of my 10 behemoths to you, Lamachso, and you're makne all of your 10 behemoths to me, Lachatzoin. So now we're 50-50 shutvim on all of the 20 behemoths. So that's called Lokuach. When let's say I buy 10 behemoths, min ashuk, you're not chayvim maisa behemoth. You're only chayvim maisa behemoth if the animals belong to you at the time that they were born. So let's say I had 10 animals born to me, and you had 10 animals born, you had your own herd, and I had my own herd. So the course of the year, after being born within the same year, so in the course of the year, I had 10 animals born, you had 10 animals born. But then we made a shutvis, the 10 and the 10 together is 20, so I was makna to you, my 10, lachatzoin, you were makna your 10 to me, lachatzoin. So then neither of us is chai, because lokuach is patam. Lokuach is patam. That's how the Rambam learns. But Rashi doesn't learn like the Rambam. Rashi learns that the mitzvah, ma'aseh behema, only applies if it's owned by a single person, it's owned by shutfis, and the mitzvah doesn't apply, unless it's a shutfis or tfusas habayis. Let's say the father had a big ranch with thousands of animals, and then the father dies and he leaves two yorshim. So the yorshim became shutfim bal korcham, even if they don't want to. The yorish bal korcham, only the pishnaim you can be mevatim. You can't be mevatim on Yerusha. If you don't want it, you have to be mafkirif. So then Rashi learns in the Mishnah, if it's the Mishnah calls that tfusas habayis. Tfusas habayis means after the father dies, the estate belongs to all of the shutvim. It's not the same as regular shutvim. Let's say I own half and you own half. Or let's say I put up 3/4 of the money, so I own 75%, you own 25%, or whatever the percentages happen to be. But if the man dies and it goes birusha to the children, you don't say I own half and you own half. The estate belongs to all of the shutvim together. It's a different kind of a shutvim because they become shutvim bal korcham. So even though Rashi holds that shutvim are not chayv and maisa behema, but Rashi reads pshat in the Mishnah in the end of Pchors and daf nun vav in the days that if they became shutvim through Yerusha, if it's a tfusas habayis, then they are chayv and maisa behema. That's not considered two independent bialim. It's not considered shutvim. It's considered as if it's one bialim. The yorshim own everything the shutvim together. It could be, let's say, if the father died and he left the korban, and the korban goes to the two brothers. So I think we pass in yorish and the same of yorish and a meimer. I think we pass in that the yorish is not enough of a bialim. He only gets a kapor and mikufyo, only a superficial kapor. It doesn't get mikivo. So I think the psak halach is like the tanim, like the satanai. I think we pass it's not enough of a bailim to make tamura or to fulfill the mitzvah of smicha, but there was a tana, there was an opinion in the days of the tanoim that the yorish does do smicha. So what would be over there if they would do smicha? So we suggested, and the Gemara never discusses it, it could be like Rav Avala said, that they'll do one smicha together because the yorishim bal korcham, they didn't, it wasn't nishtat for midas atzma. Just like by Aaron and Abanav, they were all five who should from under korbanos. Even if each one wanted to bring his own korban, the pashta says that they wouldn't be yotzei by Chanukah sakohan. When the kohanim were chosen, they had to dafka bring all five. Had to bring this one set of korbanos together. The Avala thought not like the Raiva, that they did one big smicha together, and the hands of the other four shutvim were not a chatzitza between mine hands and the korban because it's one big bialim. So it could be that whenever you have the father dies and you have a korban or shutvim, according to that tana that you do smicha, we pass, you don't do smicha. According to the tana that you do smicha, it could be that they do one big smicha together. We won't say that your hands will be a chatzitza between mine hands and the korban, because since we're shutvim bal korchenu, so it's considered as if it's one bialim. When you learn Bava Metzia, in the first daf in Bava Metzia, there's a famous thesis where there's Tosfos has a kasha. I'll just mention those who remember the first daf in Bava Metzia. I won't go into it. Tosfos distinguishes between Yerusha and other shutvim. That if you have shutvis, a plain shutvis, they became shutvim midaitam, so then the half that belongs to me doesn't belong to you, the half that belongs to you doesn't belong to me. I only own half. But by tfusas habayis, when the father dies and they get Yerusha, we say the whole Yerusha belongs to both of them together. You don't say he only owns half. So if there's one of them is Vadai, and one of them is a Vada Yerusha, and the other one is in Suffolk, if he's entitled, we're not sure who the other one is. So either I get all or I get some, so I'm considered Muchzik on all. Why? Because Tfusas Habayis is a different kind of ownership. Tfusas Habayis belongs the whole Yerusha, all the assets All the whole estate belongs to all of the Yorshim together. So the Yorish is considered a Muchzak Anor. So they're really two different types of Shutzes. The Shutzes Nidas and the Shutzes Bal Korcham. We have, the Gemara has a klal, the Gemara has that from Sukkim, that a korban mincha cannot be brought b'shutvus. You can bring a korban shlamim b'shutvus, you can bring a korban oila b'shutvus. Let's say on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, you have to bring three korbanos, shalosh mitzvus and stabi Yisrael, bali yosem laregel, the Tosefta says, and the Gemara quotes in the first parakah Chagiga, Tosefta, when you go to be oila regel, you become obligated to bring a korban Chagiga and a korban oila sriya and a shalmei simcha. So it's a very expensive proposition. So you can have, if you can't afford it, a behemoth costs $1,000, not everybody can afford it. So you can become a shutuf, give $1, and you'll get $1's worth of flesh from the korban shlamim. You'll get $1's worth, a little a kazayis of flesh. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you can be yotze b'shutufs. If 1,000 people get together, each one gives $1, if they can't afford it, so they can buy an oil asriya b'shutfas, so they can buy a shalmei chagiga b'shutfas also. Could be also, when you make an erev in a community, so first you have to make mechitzas around the holy area to make it into one big Rishus HaYochid. And then there's Drisus HaRegel of the Nochrim who live there. So you have to go, strictly speaking, you have to go rent from every Nochri, so he shouldn't asa the Yisraelim. So that'll take you forever to go rent. There could be hundreds of Nochrim who live in the neighborhood. So rather than go rent from each and every Nochri, so he rent from the Moshel Ha'ir, who's considered as if he's Chir Lakit, as if he's the representative of all of the Nochrim. So that's what they do. You go to the chief of police and you give him $1 and you say you want to rent all the streets. You want to rent all the streets for the next 5 years or for the next 10 years, and then before the 10 years are up. So you go rent again for whoever will be the chief of police at that time. And then after you rent from the Nochem, they don't ask it, then you have to have put away a box of matzahs. You never have to have more than 18 groigris, even if you have more than 18 families included in the Erev. So if you have one box of matzahs, it's going to have three groigris as one kibetza. So if you have 18 groigris, it's going to be six kibetzim. So you can fit in six eggs in a box of matzahs. So if you have a box of matzahs that's full of matzah, you give it to the next door neighbor. I make the Erev in my building, so I give it to the next door neighbor. She picks it up. And then I say, have in mind to be kind of shutfus for all the Shama Shabbos alive, and now I'm going to move in until next Pesach. So the Erev is good until Pesach. So what do you do? Let's say, so that's what you do in the neighborhood. So what do you do if you have one fellow who wants to torpedo the whole Erev? He doesn't hold from Eruvin. He doesn't believe in Eruvin. There's some people, in the days of the Gemara, that person would be considered an apikoros, saying a moedah be'erev. He doesn't believe in the takanas Shlomo HaMelech of making an erev echatzeres. Today it's considered a person holier than the other people. You don't want to carry the erev, okay, but why should you ruin the erev for the other people? Don't want to carry the erev, so let the other people carry. So let's say all you need is one person doesn't want to, he wants to ruin the whole erev. So when my next neighbor picks up the box of matzahs on behalf of all the Shomer Shabbos who live in the building, all you need is one of them says, I don't want to be zeichen the box of matzahs. Whenever you do an act of zeichen liodam on behalf of someone else, if the person finds out about it and he says, I don't want it, he's meicher, so he undoes the whole zechiah. So all you need, if you have an area, you have a big area, and one of the Shomer Shabbos Jews who lives in the area doesn't want the Erev, all he has to say is, I don't want to be kind of a shutfus in the box of matzahs. So he kills the whole Erev. Is that taka the din? The poskim don't discuss it. They don't have such a funny hechetimsa that one person will want to ruin the whole Erev for everybody. So there's room to say that not. Room to say, there is a din in Shulchan Aruch when you learn Orachayim, so you have Hilchas Beis HaKnesses. So that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have Jewish people live in a neighborhood, they can force each other to make an Eruv Yechatzeres. It's going to cost money. So all the people are mechuyev to put up money. How do they have the right to force each other? One person wants an Eruv, he can force all the others to make an Eruv. Me'ezetam. So the Mishnah Berurah says, look in Choshen Mishpat, there's a siman hilchos shluchim b'shutfim. The people that live in the community have a din of shutfim. They never join to become shutfim midaitam. Not that he moved to that neighborhood. He didn't move to New York City because he wants to. He was born in New York City. He was born in Teaneck. He was born there. So how did he become a shutef? He was born in that neighborhood. He lives there. So apparently they become all the people that live in the neighborhood, since they all share certain needs together. So the halacha declares that they become shutefim bal korchem, like the Yorshim, or like Aaron Obanov. When the korbanos were brought by Aaron Obanov, they became shutefim bal korchem. So the halacha says that all the people who live in the neighborhood have a, since they all share certain tzarachim in common, so they have a status of shutvim with respect to all of the things that they share in common. So take, for example, those who live in the United States, you live in New York City, so we shutvim on three different levels. Some things are taken care of by the municipal government: garbage collection, water purification. We all need both of those. So that's taken care of by the municipal government. Some things are taken care of by the federal government. The mail delivery. And we need an army to protect us. The enemies can attack America, so you need an army, a navy, an air force, and so on. So certain things are taken care of by the federal government. And some things are taken care of by the state government. So we're shutim on three different levels. So that's the basis of the chiyuv to pay taxes. And the din in Shulchan Aruch is, let's say you have shutfim. Let's say the 11 Jewish Korean veterans, the EJ Corvettes, they opened up a store, they're selling shoes, let's say. They decided to open a shoe store. Then at the end of the year, they have a meeting. So 9 out of the 11 decide, this year no one should take any profit from the business. Everybody should put all the revach back in, because they want to open a branch in Paris, and now they want to open another branch in London, so they'll make 10 times as much. They did so well. And two of them say, I don't want to open a branch, I want the revach now. So the Din of Shulchan Aruch is quoting from a Tosefta. The Din of Shulchan Aruch is that you go basarayv. The Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary that the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Shulchan Aruch just gives mar v'kaimus. It just gives you what's the source for every line in the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon was a descendant of the one who wrote the Be'er HaGoyla. So the Be'er HaGoyla gives you all the mar v'kaimus. But the Vilna Gaon assumes that you're reading the Be'er HaGoyla, he's adding out, he's enhancing it. So he adds on mar v'kaimus for every phrase in the sif. The Be'er HaGoyla gives him mar v'kaimus for every sif, for every couple of lines in the sif, and the Vilna Gaon gives him mar v'kaimus for every word in the line. Who added that? Tosis added that line, and the Rashba added the other line, and the Rambam added the other word. He gives him mar v'kaimus for every word. So the Be'er HaGoyla writes, what's the makkah for that din? That if you have 11 shutfim in EJ Corvettes, and 9 say in one direction and 2 say the other direction, how do you know you go basar, right? So he said it's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Acharav Lahatas. Interesting. The Pashup Shat, the Pasuk in Acharav Lahatas, goes on Dayonim, who had a split vote, that you follow the Roiv. So the Vilna Gaon holds that the Pshut Shal Mikra goes on Shutfim in a business also, that they follow the Roiv. So it could well be, that whenever you have a Shutfim Bal Korchem, all the people who live, let's say, most of the people in New York City feel that we need public schools. The religious Jews send their children to yeshivas. So we get nothing out of the public school. So why do we have to pay so much taxes? Let those who have the children pay. The answer is you go basurai. Rover, the people in New York feel that there's a need. A lot of people don't have any children. A lot of people, their children are already grandparents. They already have grandchildren. So their children, they don't need the schools. But because rover, the people, voted that they want to have a public school, so even the miyut ha-mukhayev to chip in to pay for the public schools. So the same is, if some of the people feel that they need a shul, so then everybody has to chip in for the shul. So it could well be that by an Erev, you treat, since they became shutfim bal korchem, so it could be that you don't treat them as independent people. And when you mezaka the box of matzahs, you give it to the neighbor, and the neighbor picks it up, and she's zoich on behalf of all the Shem Shabbos who live in there, got to move until next Pesach. It could be that the Yochid has no right to say, I don't want. Since we treat all of the people as one big bailim, because it's a shutfiz bal korcham, so it could be that it's considered as if it's one person, and since the roiv of them want the Erev, they have everything to gain and nothing to lose. So even the one who's screaming bloody murder, he doesn't want to have an Erev, He doesn't want to be kind of shutfus in the box of matzah. It could be that he goes bal korcha. It could be that it's a different type of a shutfus over here. So here, the Gemara has, on the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra, the Gemara has an issue. The Gemara has two opinions. Tosis on the first daf, on Beis Amanav discusses, how do we paskin over here? Where they say, Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, Alav Shmei Hezek. What kind of a din is that, Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek? So the Pashta says that it's not the Hilchas Nezikin. It's a din that the people who are neighbors are considered Shutvim Bal Korcham. They're considered shutvim bal korcham. Why? Because they have one issue that they share in common. Each one can look into the other one's backyard, each one can look into the other one's house, and they take away from the privacy of the other person. So what's the din, let's say, if you have shutvim, you have only two shutvim. So you can't go basaroy. In New York City, you have millions of people. So you can take a vote. You can determine what's the right. The right of the people in New York City feel that we need public schools. So even though the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, don't use the public schools, we have to chip in our share because the Reib wanted it, so even the Miut has to go along. What do you do? Sometimes you can't go bus a Reib. The Shulchan Aruch says, if one person wants a shul and one person wants a mikveh, and the others don't need the shul, they say, 1 week we'll daven in my apartment, next week we'll daven in your apartment, next week we'll daven in the third person's apartment. So the din is that the Yochid can be koi for the Rabbin. Why is that? That's a Tosefta. Well, let's say one person wants an Erev, and most of the people in the city don't want an Erev. So that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tosefta that the Yochid can be koi for the Rabbim to pay for their share in the Erev. Why? What happened to the din that you follow the Roiv? The Shulchan Aruch says whenever you have Shutvim, and there's a dispute how they should deal with the Shutvim, so you follow the Rabbim. So the Mishnah tells us the same, such a similar din. The Mishnah in the end, the Ksubis, there's a din. Let's say, Bizman HaTanoim, there was Nacherim the Rabbeinu Gershom. It was permissible to marry one and one wife, but it was very uncommon. We have the Dinim in Mishnayis in the end of the second parak in Yevam is based on the assumption that it was very uncommon for a person to be married to more than one wife at the same time. Zechazeh, you do have. But to be married to two wives at the same time is very rare. And have halacha is based on that assumption. So let's say you have a couple, and the husband wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the wife doesn't want to go along. All of the grandchildren live over here, and all of her siblings and her parents, they all live in New York. She doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael. In the reverse, the wife decides she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the husband wants to stay behind. And each one insists that they're going to get divorced. So the question is, who is responsible for breaking up the marriage? If one's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, the big, if a brent the Zionist, the other one's going to stay behind. So it's not a marriage. So the husband has to give his wife a get. So the din is, whenever the husband divorces his wife, he has to pay ksuba, unless he can ascertain that the wife was at fault. So let's say over here, if the wife decided she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, the husband said, you're crazy, everybody lives over here. He doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So I would have said, the wife is the one who's crazy over here. She's the one who ruined the marriage. But the bug in her head, she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, no. Even though it's one-to-one, it's a shutfus of a husband and a wife, and they share an issue in common. Where are they going to live? Are they going to live in the big city or the small city? Are they going to live in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Loretz? So it's chad l'gavi chad, so you can't go basarayv. So the Mishnah says the din is, if the miut has the gerechta taina, the miut has the right taina. One person wants a mikveh, one person wants a shul, and the others don't want a shul. One person wants to hire a bal tekeya, a miut of the people, they don't have a shofar, they don't have a bal tekeya in town. And a miut of the people say, let's pay money and hire a person to come to our town to be the bal tekeya. And the roiv of the people say, no, they don't want to pay for bal tekeya, so they won't be yotzei tekeya shofar. So in a case where the miut have the gerech, the taina, then the roiv ha-mechuyev to go along with them. That's the din and shutfus. Usually go basa roiv, unless there's a situation where the miut is saying the correct position, then the halacha says the roiv is mechuyev to go along with the miut. So that's why the Mishnah has in the end of Ksubas, if you have a couple, and the wife decides she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the husband says, no, we were married, we're living here for the last 50 years. Let's stay over here. The whole family lives over here. He doesn't want to move. So the wife has the gerecht to taina, and the husband is considered responsible for breaking up the marriage because he didn't go along with her, because she wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the correct taina to have. So the same thing, let's say the miut can force the raif to make a mikveh, the miut can force the raif to build the shul, and so on. Whenever the miut has the right taina. So the same over here. You have two people on neighbors, and one of them says, I want to have a fence in between to prevent hezekri. The other says, I'm okay. I'm fine the way it is. I don't need any fence. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. Which one of them has the gerechta taina? There is no raif over here. It's one shochin. It's Reuven and Shimon. You don't have a raif. It's one legabi one, like the couple. It's one husband and one wife. One spouse wants to move to Eretz, the other one wants to stay behind. So the Mishnah says the din is, whenever you have shutfim, you normally go bas a raif, unless the miut has the correct taina, so then the raif has to go along with the miut. So here also, that's the machlokes in the Gemara. If you hold hezek, griya, shmei hezek, it means that neighbors have a din of shutfim. That's why it's in the big box, ha-shutfim. Neighbors have a din of shutfim. They share this issue in common, the hezek griya. And we assume, la-la, hezek griya, shmei hezek, that's the gerechta taina. The correct taina is that they should have a fence to separate between the two, that there shouldn't cause any hezek griya between them. Pasuk says in Chumash, the Gemara, the first parak in Sanhedrin, quotes this pasuk. Ashvatatem tzedek beinishu beinochivu bein gero. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Be'gera afila b'entana l'kirayim. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin. So Rabbeinu Hananel, it's a famous Rabbeinu Hananel, says on that Gemara, that pasuk is the basis of all of the Mishnayos and Bava Basra, all the dinim of Harchokas Nizikim, because the Shechinim, that's the basis of this halacha. The Shechinim have a din of Shutfim, and the Shutfim, even though they never joined, they never agreed to become Shutfim, but they share an issue in common, that each one is imposing on the other one's privacy. And if one of them wants to build a fence, the halacha says that the other Shutfim has to go along. The Pashta says that the same should apply. Let's say you're traveling on an airplane. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. It's a long trip. So some of the people want to sleep, and other people want to daven. And some people want to daven with a minyan and scream out loud, Yehi Shmei Rabba. And other people want to sleep at the time, so they're waking them up, or they're not going to wake them up, but they're going to daven usually in the back of the plane so they won't disturb anybody. But then if someone wants to go to the washroom, the minyan is always davening right by the washroom, so that people feel very uncomfortable. So the roiv of the people on the plane probably want to sleep, and they don't want you to make noise to wake them up, and they don't want you to daven even near the washroom. They want you to sit in your seat. So the Pashta says that you should go bas a roif. Can you say it's really, that's the gerech, the taina. The proper taina is that we should wake everybody up. Why? I don't think so. You can daven mechidas. I think the Pashta says that in that case, you should go bas a roif. I don't think it's right that when you go on a plane, even if the person is an avelus and he has to say kaddish, the world doesn't come to an end if he doesn't say kaddish to his parents. I know the whole idea of kaddish is that to spare the parents that they shouldn't burn again. But my parents, both of my parents passed away years ago. I don't think either of them is going to Gehenna. They were nice religious Jews. They were tzaddikim. The meaning is that everybody says kaddish. If your parents really are burning in Gehenna, so then there's something to worry about. You got to think about that. Okay, but if you're talking about religious people, they're not burning in Gehenna. Meaning is you say Kaddish for 11 months. So this is basically the basis of the opening Mishnah. There are two different types of shutfis. There's a shutfis where people join the shutfis midaitam. Then there's another shutfis where the halacha declares they become shutfim bal korcham. So you have neighbors of shutfim bal korcham, whether they like it or not, and they have shibudim of shutfis, they're meshubah to each other. And Aaron Abonav had a din that was shutfim bal korcham, and Yorshim have a din of shutfim bal korcham. The Gemara raises an issue. The din is that you can't have shutfis by a korban mincha. Let's say two people decide they want to bring a mincha together. Mincha is not so expensive, so you don't really need it. Behemoths are expensive. I can't afford it, so I go into shutfas from someone else. But menachas are not that expensive. The Gemara learns out from Pasuk, can't have a shutfas. So the Gemara raises the question, what if a man died? A man was mafresh a korban mincha, and he dies. And then he has two sons, and they're both yarshin, the bailus, and the korban. So you don't bring the korban mincha, because now it's off on behalf of the shutfim. So the Gemara asks that question. So the Gemara answers, since the kapara is only mikufya, not mikiva, it's not a full kapara, so they're not really full two bailim on the carbon. Each one is a weaker bailim. So the Gemara says maybe that's the reason why the mitzvah is offered even after the father died, because it's not really a mincha shel shnei shutfim, because neither of them gets a full kapara. So that's a question. Why didn't the Gemara give a different explanation? Unless they say that's what the Gemara meant. Why didn't the Gemara say that since they became shutfim bal korchim, so you treat it as if it's one bailim? Maybe we suggested before, maybe if you have a korban al shutfim, you know, the yorshim, the yorish does smicha, maybe that together they'll do one smicha. Maybe they won't do two different smichas. Maybe it's considered one bailim. Like Rakav Relvola said, when they get to Aaron Abanav, that had a din of one bailim, not considered shutfim. So maybe over here, this is not a mincha shel shutfim, since it became shutfim bal korchim. They didn't choose on their own. So you don't say each one is an independent bailim. So it's considered as if it's tfusas habayis. It's a different kind of shutfim, tfusas habayis. Maybe that's what the Gemara meant. Possibility. Okay, everyone should have a successful year learning Bava Basra. It's a very important mesichta. Every mesichta is important. And much of the dinim and the mesichta are relevant halacha lemaisa to us. Especially Perek Yesh Nechlin. But the whole mesichta is relevant. Have a successful year.